You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Imagine calling it from the Beef Baron to play Take It or Leave It trivia, hoping to win your wife a birthday present.
Never know.
That's a well-respected move.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
So it was a big weekend for the Maple Leafs in their history. Four more players being added to Legends Row, and that would include our main man, Wendell Clark.
Yes.
Charlie Conacher, Frank Mahovlich, and Red Kelly. And Brendan Shanahan was speaking with the media afterwards, and he essentially said, that's it. That's all we're doing until the current or future players do enough to be added to that list 20, 30, 40 years down the road.
So Dougie G just gets passed over.
So Doug Gilmore is not getting up there.
I'm saddened by that. He now, was not here the longest time.
Is that why, do you think?
I have no idea why. Hockey Hall of Famer?
I'm surprised Gilmore's not up there.
I'm actually shocked.
I am too. I mean, you can't dispute any of these guys that are up there. They all deserve to be up there.
Right.
The players that are up there are all-time great Leafs. They're legends of this team, legends of this market. They all should be up there. Find room for one more guy on the bench.
Well, make a bigger bench.
Make a bigger bench. Like, and I know this is a slippery slope. Because then people will say, well, what about Lanny McDonald? What about, you know, players that were here in the 40s and 50s that were great players? And there have been some great Leafs. They've been around for 100 years. But Gilmore represented something in the early 90s.
So there's only room for 14 on the bench?
Make a bigger bench.
As of right now. Right. And you mentioned the longevity. Wendell, in terms of years, was here a lot longer than Gilmore. But Wendell had injury problems. Right, so if you actually look at the amount of games they played as Maple Leafs,
right,
Gilmore's not that far behind them.
And if we're going to wait for there's no one in the last.
Well, the only three.
Eddie B?
No, they're not getting it. It's Mats and Wendell the past 30 years, and then I would have included Gilmore. Those are the three guys.
Like, why are guys like Cujo and Eddie B just.
Well, I mean,
the Cujo not
they didn't
playing
win, and if you're talking about longevity, Cujo was here for what, 4 years, 5 years? Belfour the same, 3 or 4 years.
So that's basically there must be a formula that they're looking at and saying certain amount of years, certain amount of impact, success, popularity, all of that. Because I just the criteria to leave Dougie off it's just a bit suspicious for me. When I think of the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think of current in the last 20, 30 years. You think certainly of Matt Sundin. You think of Wendell Clark. And you think of Doug Gilmore. Like, Felix Potvin could be another. Did he not do enough?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Felix was a great Leaf, really good player. But Gilmore was on such a different level. And,
right.
And I was young at the time, but even I could understand the magnitude of what he represented.
Right.
Like those two seasons in the early 90s, which continue to get referenced by every Leaf fan as the most magical two seasons of the past 50 years, it was Gilmore. Like that's what it was.
Years.
It was like Wendell was unreal and Andrzejczyk was great and Burns and you mentioned Potvin, but it was Gilmore. Like Gilmore, I was talking to my brother-in-law about this yesterday, who's a bit older than me. And he's a huge Raptor fan, huge Blue Jay fan, just a big sports fan. And he said, in my lifetime, he's 35 or 36, he's like, the biggest sports celebrity in this city in my lifetime is Doug Gilmore. And by a mile. Like, it would have been right in your wheelhouse. You would have been a teenager. He was huge when he was here in the early
90s. I did everything like Doug Gilmore. I tucked my shirt in like Doug Gilmore. I taped my stick like Doug Gilmore. I got a straight stick because of Doug Gilmore. I used the same stick as Doug Titans. I did everything. He was like my hero. He was a Toronto icon.
He was,
I was
bigger than anything. Exactly. He was
used
as
to get the
big
same skates, tape my shin pads the same way.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's almost overthinking it. It's just to not put him in there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the breakdown was. I don't know what the explanation was. And I understand that it would be sensitive, and I wouldn't expect an explanation from Shanahan or the Leafs brass, because if you do it for Gilmore, again, then you got to do it for other players who might be right there on the fringe that people might have questions about. Like, why isn't this guy on there? Why isn't that guy on there?
And don't you just have to do it for the simple reason of, like, just throw a bone to guys our age or your brother-in-law that's 35.
I totally agree.
Because you have
it.
Thrown so many bones to the guy, our parents,
yep.
who are just like, yeah, that guy was awesome. Danny
Keon,
all these other guys,
Silas,
Johnny Bauer.
Yeah.
Throw them up on – throw us a bone.
I totally agree with you. You've got three guys, like I've been saying, three guys from the past 25, 30 years. It's Wendell, Gilmore, and Sundin. That's it. Throw three guys up there. Sundin and Wendell are up there. They deserve to be. Throw Gilmore on there.
Because all the people that are our age, they're like, you know what? That's awesome that all these guys. Because Johnny Bauer, I signed autographs with him yesterday down at the Air Canada Center. No matter how old you are, you know who the guy is. But the reality is, none of us have seen the guy play one shift.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You're all going on Leafs TV stuff that's black and white and him jumping around with no helmet on. We've never seen him play.
I know.
But we all lived that 92, 93, yep. where it was like we.
I'll bet you if you asked every Leaf fan between the age of 30 and 50,
50?
30 and 60,
yeah.
who they think of when they think of like the best Leafs and the great moments of the past 30 years, I'll bet you Gilmore would be a runaway favorite.
Runaway
favorite.
If he's not, say you're a little bit older.
Maybe
would he be
Sundin.
Your top five?
Well, I'm talking about the past 30 years, though. I'm talking. Oh, dude, there's three guys. It's Gilmore, Clark, and Sundin. That's it.
Right.
There were other fun Leafs and great Leafs and Leaf legends,
right.
but those three were on a completely different level.
Okay, so
completely different.
It just
level.
Doesn't. You can make the bench as long as you want, and I just don't understand that. Like the optics don't. And it's hard to criticize something that's so cool, and the Leafs deserve full marks for. Showing the respect for all of these players. But I think they're in a tough spot where Shanny goes, drawing the line, and the line is Dougie G. That's where the line is.
Right. That's what it appears to be.
Because he's the 15th guy.
Well, and they
well, there's not a guy going in there for another 30 years then. Who the hell's going in there?
Well, it's got to be Matthews, Marner. Like, that's what we're talking about. Like, what?
Yeah.
And those guys, it'll be after their careers. If they continue to play at this pace and win games and win playoff rounds and become legends.
Right.
That's what we're talking about.
I'm really disappointed that he's not in there. Very disappointed. Well, are you not?
I'm disappointed, too. I am. I honestly, when this all started, for start, again, I think this is a great idea. Full credit to the Maple Leafs. I think they've done a great job of building up the history, which was completely shot down for decades in the city.
Let's hire
but
some
protesters. When it first came out that this was happening, I would have said it was a lock Gilmore was going to be there.
Yeah. Why don't we bring in Ray Ferraro right now?
Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team.
Ray, do you think Dougie G should be on the bench of legends?
In his time, sure.
In Toronto, though, Legends Row.
Yeah, in his time, sure. Like you got to. The problem is they had to dust off all these forgotten memories for 100 years.
Well, that's what we just talked about, though. Isn't it time to throw guys like Brian and myself a bone? The guys that we watched. No disrespect to the older guys. You got to put them up there, but.
Yeah, but you can't get to the new guys before you catch up.
But there's going to be no more catching up for a long time. So this is the time.
Well. I mean, that's what was said, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, how long is some time? Is that a couple years? Is it?
Well,
what do you think? Brendan Shanahan in a couple years is going to be like, nah, maybe Doug Gilmore should.
The impression I got, sure. Ray, and it is subject to change, but the impression I got was that's it for the past. Like, the next one going up is Austin Matthews in 25 years. Like, that was the impression. Gilmore's not going up.
If that's what it is, I don't agree with that. I mean, Gilmore is part of the lore of the Maple Leafs, of the story of them. And I know he wasn't here as long, but I don't know, I would say the modern 20 years have been, he would be considered and remembered as much as almost anybody.
Oh, he's the legend of legends for people under the age of 40, 45.
You know, so the problem with something like this, I guess I would say, is that if you bypass somebody, then you have to go back and fix it in time or add it in time. And unfortunately, then sometimes you get to it when people don't really remember that player. Like, how many of us remember or know of some of the guys on Legends Row? We don't. We know them by story or by book because there was even no video of them. And yet, they have to be there. So the next group, if this goes by, I don't know, pick a number of years, the people that will see Gilmore go on to Legends Row will have really no recollection of him as a player. Just whatever they'd heard about.
Right.
And I mean, that's kind of weird.
That's why I think he should be up there, because his story as a Maple Leaf deserves to be told for generations on generations.
Okay, well, so go like this then. If Gilmore is included, or say Gilmore is not included right now, who else isn't included that should be there? Can you think of anyone offhand? I mean, that's maybe hard to say because there's so many players, but...
Me.
The bench isn't long enough.
Yeah, I've said that before. That's got to go up to Barrie or even maybe past that, like up to Muskoka. Somewhere on Lake Joe, we'll be sitting on the bench. But, yeah, I mean, you look at a guy like Lanny McDonald comes to mind, potentially. You'd have to go deeper into
the history books.
Rick Vive scored 50 goals 3 different times. You know,
he's one guy that always seems to just get put in the corner, and
he gets overlooked a lot, and it's totally unfair to him. There's no doubt about that. But
what's the criteria for it?
We don't know.
Like that's the biggest question, I think, as you guys are talking about different names or we're talking about names. I'm like, I don't even really know what it's about, except they're four great Maple Leafs, right? Like I don't. Like, there's not a direct correlation to the retired numbers.
No, there isn't. That said, his number is retired.
So what's more important? Is it retirement of the jersey? I think so, over Legends Row. Like, I don't even really know how to quantify it, but if they're not adding any more players, then Gilmore should be on it, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're speaking to the choir here. You're preaching to the choir. I mean,
well, I know. O's probably got a megaphone outside,
yeah,
right?
For sure. But I'm right beside him too. I mean, growing up as a Leaf fan in the city, Gilmore was the first everything to me. I mean, he's my favorite player of all time, and he always will be. And I know I'm biased in saying that because I'm such a big Gilmore fan.
You watched it live. That's why.
He had 127 points and then 111 points in back-to-back years. And those teams, they were not great teams. They weren't. And they got to the semifinals 2 years in a row, in large part because Gilmore, he reignited the city. You had to be here in the 80s to understand what Gilmore represented. Like, the more we're talking about this, the more I'm just in shock he's
not
up there.
You're getting worked up.
I'm really in shock because
I thought about that Saturday night. That's all I could think about was you guys. Like, the impact it was having on the 30-plus-year-old fan who grew up in the 90s and went through the Dougie era.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I could think about.
Well, we'll see. I mean, maybe there's a change of mentality in the future, but it didn't sound that way. And it's not to suggest that they got everything wrong, because they didn't. They've done a great job here. Like, they've really done a great job with the retiring of the numbers was a great job opening night or during the home opener, and Legends Row in general. Shanahan's really taken this upon himself to do something right. He's done a really, really good job with this. And it's not only Shanahan. They have a board that votes on this, and I don't know who's a part of that and, again, what the criteria is. But I've said this 5-6 times already this hour, and we're 15 minutes in. But when you think of the legends of the past 30 years, you think of Clark, you think of Sundin, and you think of Gilmore. Like, that's who you think of. And the other two are up there. So, anyway. We'll leave it there,
right? I can't help you on that one.
No, I know. And you would have been.
You're gonna need to take a warm drink and regroup.
I wasn't expecting to get this riled up, but I think Owen and I are just kind of knocking it out of each other.
I feel bad because I brought the topic up, but I was being genuine. Like I believe that Dougie G should be there. And I don't understand where it just stops off at 14 and Shanny's saying, well, that's it. You know, we're,
you know where it's, you know where it could, like the stop off point, Noodles, don't, you know, like, why wouldn't it be at a bench, a full bench?
Right. Like 23 or whatever, 22.
Well, no, 18 skaters and, yeah, and that's it. You know, like 18 skaters, we've got a couple goalies. Like, what is a bench? Like, a bench is the team. Mm-hmm. Now you've got 14 guys there. There's room for five more, really, six more. Like, that could easily have been a mark-off point.
Right.
So that's our team up to this point. But it's kind of nitpicking because they've done I think they've changed things so rapidly here and they've caught up in a lot of ways that, you know, it was like a dusty old basement that needed sweeping out. They've really made it kind of cool again for people to love their Leafs.
Yep.
And you know, like I live in Vancouver and certainly no tradition anywhere near what is here. You know, they've only been in the league since 1970, but they need to do the same thing there. They need to re-engage, and cities need to find a way to re-engage their city and their fan base with their team, because that's what I see here. I was in L.A. on Saturday, and I'm like, man, that energy in that building, they never score. I mean, they never score.
God.
And the energy in the building is amazing. Like, they've engaged, right, they've engaged the hockey fan into their team.
Is that because of recent history with them winning cups and a lot of those players?
It was part of moving to the new building. You know, the new building was a real start-over point for them. Their teams got better. They marketed the team really aggressively. They have an identity. You know, I look at the people in there, and I'm like, there are Kings jerseys everywhere. It's really amazing because when I played there, it was not that. It was just kind of like a, you know, Gretzky had just left, and it was kind of like a way afterthought compared to the way it is now.
With Ray Ferraro, our hockey analyst, you're in Toronto for the game tomorrow night with Winnipeg in town, and Illini just picked up first star of the week, not just the rookie of the month, first star of the week in the NHL, and I think he had 4 points over the weekend. He's had a bunch of points over the past week. He's right there with Matthews in terms of goals, but he's actually surpassed him in terms of points. He's played less games. I think the Calder race is still on. I think it'll be really fun to watch. Where's your head at? I mean, do you continue to flip-flop, or do you kind of have an idea on where you think it's going to be?
No, I'm kind of all over the map on it, to be honest with you. I had Line A kind of in the first part of the year, and then Matthews, like when Matthews was in that struggle, what was it, 13 games without a goal, right, I thought Line A had kind of climbed ahead, and then, you know, Matthews got hot and he caught him, and then Line A got hurt, and then out of nowhere came Marner into the deal. And I mean, in a different year, you might be talking about Zach Werenski, who's got 34 points and in Columbus having an amazing year, or maybe Nylander would be getting some love too. But it's, to me, it's, I would say it's Marner third, and then the other two guys right now, but there's still, I mean, these 25 or 22 games, whatever they've got left, is going to be pretty awesome to watch. It's really a spectacular class.
Yeah, it is. And tomorrow night, I think there will be a buzz in that building. I was there for the Oilers game, mm-hmm, when McDavid made his debut, yep, in Toronto, and that felt like a very special night. I don't anticipate it will have the exact same feeling. I think McDavid represents something different in the city because of where he's from, and obviously he's such a great player. But Line A Matthews, every Leaf fan in the city has been debating this and been talking about this since the draft lottery.
Right.
And you get to see it live tomorrow night.
Well, don't you think what makes these types of things special is the people that are going to the game tomorrow, it's a big game for Winnipeg's survival. It's a big game for Toronto trying to hold on to a playoff position. But people are going to watch these two kids. Like, that's what when I think of the game tomorrow, it's Winnipeg and Toronto, but it's these two guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think the league can be really comforted that they have big personality games. Like, people want to go see them. They're not just effective and you don't notice them. And that's where the league can't ever back off about marketing these guys. Get them out in the forefront. Make it even less about team, more about players. Drive the league with the stars that you have that just fell into your doorstep. And it's Eichel, it's McDavid as well, it's Matthews, it's Marner. You know, Patrick Kane should be everywhere. What Jonathan Drouin did the other night, if people haven't seen it, go YouTube it. It's astounding. Like, get these guys out front of the teams. People want to see the stars. And the young stars can do some amazing things.
Well, exactly. And Marner, if he returns tomorrow night, he won't be on that billing because it will be Matthews versus Laine because of the draft and all the debate leading up to the draft. But Marner returns.
He could certainly make it a statement game, though.
He really could. It wouldn't surprise me if he returns and steals the show tomorrow night.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be just like him? Sort of like that little rat comes in and, like, all of a sudden he's got the puck the whole game, and you're like, whoa, he did it again.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm almost expecting it. I hope he returns. I mean, there's no news. They're off today. I guess we'll find out tomorrow. But kind of felt like they said, listen, we'll survive a weekend without you. Take it easy. Stay home in Toronto. Get treatment. With the hope that he'll be ready to go tomorrow night.
I think he plays.
I think he probably does. And Freddie Anderson will play tomorrow. But McElhinney was great last night. And we've had these debates. It's amazing. A guy that claimed off waivers, we've had multiple debates. Should he get another start?
Oh, there's no controversy. But my view of it is you can stretch out your backup in short spurts. So if he has a shutout, why not throw him in again? But after that, it's Freddie, it's your net. There's no controversy here. But ride it out for the short spurts. There's no time
to
waste.
What did we say? Guys, what did we say? He needed to make 10 or 12 starts when they picked him up. And he's, I think he's at 6 now, right? No, he's 3-3, but he took one cheesy loss there.
Yeah,
when
he came in as a backup.
I think he's at 5 starts.
So he's already done what they need him to do. And, you know, the question is, you know, can Anderson get on a real run again? Because that's where your team lies. It's in his hands. It's, you know, McElhinney gets, what's he get, another half dozen starts, maybe 5 starts?
Yeah, probably 5 or 6 tops.
And so if he puts up another 50% plus of points, because he's, in my book, he's 3, you know, that loss that he took on the in relief doesn't really hang with him. So he's over 50%. He's at 60% points earned in starts he's had. If he's able to do that, they're probably in a lot better positions than some of the other teams that have been diving and dodging around their backup goalie all year.
Oh, they have to be ecstatic. There's no way they expected this. He's got like a .938 save percentage or whatever since he's come to Toronto. And last night, he stole that first period. They were not ready to play, and Carolina was all over them, and McElhinney stood on his head and made some massive stops, and he allowed the team to get going. And then the first goal went in. Matthews scored a beautiful goal, and it was all downhill from there. And that's exactly what you're looking for out of a backup.
Man,
it wasn't
that long ago, was it? Carolina was in the playoff race.
They've completely fallen off a cliff. They're last in the East, I think, right now.
Yeah, I think they're like 3 wins in their last 12 games or something. And like when I look at Carolina, I think of how they played here. They were fast and aggressive and, you know, they kind of looked like a scary team, and they've just imploded.
Well, and there's teams on the opposite end, Ray. Florida just went through California, went 3-3, and they're in St. Louis tonight. Wouldn't shock me if they found a way to win that game. Boston's won 4 in a row, including last night in San Jose. You know, these teams, Buffalo, prior to yesterday, had really been rolling. These teams around the Leafs and ahead of Carolina, they're all taking off.
Well, I text Noodles on Saturday. I sent him a picture of his boy Luongo there, and I said, "Man, your boy can still play." Oh my gosh, was he fantastic!
He was.
And then, you know, they've got Huberto and Barkov back, and they've won 7 of 8. Jágr was outstanding. Like he had the puck a few times, and it was like they're never going to get it from him. And LA's defense is still huge, but they just couldn't get the puck off his stick. And so, I mean, there were a couple times you look at Florida and, you know, and I think they're a little thin. But, man, they're on a run. They're a danger now. They're a threat. They play 7. After tonight, I think it's 7 of their last of their next eight are at home. You know, I mean, they could they go on a little bit of a run here, and they might put some points in the bank that teams can't, you know, teams can't keep up with.
Well, that's likely what it's going to come down to, is who can get hot the final 10 or 12 games. You know, who's going to keep that final streak for the final 2.5 weeks of the season?
Right.
Because, you know, we were talking about Montreal. They've sunk back to the pack. They've done that to themselves. They're back in the race. They're going to have to fight it out for top spot. And Ottawa is kind of rolling there for a bit, at least on Saturday night. And then yesterday they lose in regulation.
Disaster.
And end up with a bunch of injuries. And Guy Boucher calls them potentially a disaster after the game.
I thought that was a great quote, by the way.
Wasn't that incredible?
Right now it looks like a disaster.
There's the guy who's really got it figured out. I mean, he's not even trying to hide the emotion.
Well, what's he going to say? Oh, we're going to call up three guys from Bingo to replace the four forwards that we've lost.
Four good ones.
Like, yeah. Good luck with that. I see, though, that the three injured guys went on the trip, yeah. Not Ryan. But so maybe that's good news. Noodles, you got the game tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I read Wally's note there.
Well, that'll be that if they don't play. As you know, I was just there, and that was a thrill-a-thon. They are going to have all six guys inside the net.
It's going to be a 0-0 tie tomorrow.
But how else would you play?
I don't know.
They're just going to try and hang in there. The real problem, of course, is if, you know, in order, if Stone and Hoffman and then Wingles are out for any length of time, man, Stone's there. And Stone's an amazing player. Hoffman's as good a shooter as they have. How would they overcome that? If those are 5 or 7 games, man, I don't know how they'd be able to overcome that. That'd be a real blow to them.
Well, it should be a fun race, and we've still got almost 2 months, so we'll see where it goes. We'll tee up the big game tomorrow night, Winnipeg, Toronto on TSN4 tonight. We'll do that tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Talk to you then, boys. Later.
All right. Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto, or visit timeshareexitteam.ca.
Yes.
You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm just checking in. I thought there was something going on over there.
No, I was just watching you read the read.
Okay. We're good.
Way to work.
You good over there, Noodles?
O's hair is out of control.
It is.
We haven't
mess
even talked
today.
About it.
It's not a good hair day, is it?
Dude, I'm in track pants. Yeah, what am I going to say?
Let's get into our appearances when we come
back. All right, we'll break down our appearances. And a GM made a big trade over the weekend in the NBA. And he made a statement that is catching a lot of people off guard.
Vlade Divac.
Vlade. We'll let you hear it. We'll break it down. And where do the Jays go from here if Donaldson's calf strain maybe extends into the regular season? This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
I've got a segment for you guys. Honor of Family Day. You were sitting down at a Family Day dinner. Sometimes some hard-hitting topics come up. If you could sit down two Toronto athletes at your Family Day to have a little speech with, who would they be? I know my two.
Well, they'd have to be interesting people.
My two people would be Austin Matthews and Freddie Anderson.
Really?
And I would say, if you two just catch fire for 2 months, we make the playoffs.
It would be a boring, they're both quiet guys.
It would be a terrible conversation.
It wouldn't be. It would be a motivational speech.
Okay, so you want it for your own purpose.
You just want to sit them down and lecture them. You don't want to have dinner with them.
You know how some of those family dinners, it's like, hey, we need to talk to you about something?
Mm-hmm.
So for my family dinner, Austin Matthews, Freddie Anderson, sit down. If you two heat up, we make the playoffs.
So you're saying, like, those family dinners that turn into interventions for the one goon cousin or whatever?
Maybe, but it's like a positive reinforcement.
Okay, that's an interesting call. I would never choose those two. Did you see Matthews, who scored a brilliant goal last night? He I believe labeled it lucky after the game. because he's never going to give you anything. He's never going to say, I couldn't believe it myself. That
That's not
an
part of the segment. It's not about an interesting combo.
But you just said, who would you? What two Toronto athletes would you want to invite to
I
a
just
dinner?
Told you mine.
I know, but that's not an interesting conversation.
It doesn't have to be interesting. Yeah, it's just something you want to get off your chest.
So it's okay. Festivus, then. You've invited him over for Festivus. And tell them either how you've liked them or
you
how
you can invite whoever you over, all whoever right. you want. If it's Masai, if it's Brendan Shanahan, if it's Lou, if it's Gibby,
I would invite Jose Bautista because he'd have something to say, and he would tell me about what happened the past year, how he really feels about Shapiro and Atkins, how he feels about Edwin. Does he feel like Edwin walked on the team? Like, is this going to be a Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant situation?
You're being an insider. You're getting all the scoop.
Right. And he's an interesting guy. You know, he would start yapping at people and pick fights with my uncle or something like that. And that could be cool. So Bautista would be the one guy that I would definitely invite. I don't know if I really have anyone else that sticks out.
Well, Nazem Kadri, because you know that he would tell me everything of what's going on.
He'd be interesting.
Like, he'd be very interesting to have a chat with.
Yeah.
Because he was in the old regime and the new regime.
You guys are taking the interesting thing too far. It's not about being interesting.
If it's about motivation, then I understand what you're saying.
You just basically said that you wanted to sit down the two most important players of the Toronto Maple Leafs and give them a speech.
Right.
So that's not really like if you that's it's that saying where if there's two people that either past or present that you'd ever want to have dinner with, and people go, Jesus and Gandhi, I would rather say, you know, Tiger Woods.
Who's still alive.
I know, but I want to hear
I'd like to hear what's up with him. Wilt Chamberlain would come to mind.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man.
Jeter.
Yes, those are people that I would find a lot more interesting. I want interesting dinner conversation, and Auston Matthews would never be interesting.
He's very quiet.
I might bring Josh Donaldson in and say, give me the straight goods here. How bad is this calf injury? Because at first I'm thinking, maybe this is a veteran move, first day of camp, ease into it. I'm a little banged up. I don't really feel like hitting the batting cage.
Yeah,
just let me
like
stretch,
that.
Do my own thing. I'll be ready when we're ready to go come opening day. But then he shows up the next day on crutches. And
what the hell happened, though? Because he first showed up and he was bebopping around, hugging guys, throwing it around.
I don't know. I mean, a calf strain, those are difficult, I'm sure, to predict exactly how it happened, why it happened, how long it's going to take you to fully rehab it.
Right.
But he's so far and away their most valuable player in terms of bats, in terms of defense, in terms of just being an everyday player. MLB Network actually came out with the list of their top 100 players going into the season, and he was third on their list.
Really?
Which I was a bit surprised by. I mean, I know he's a great player, but I think of it through the scope of, okay, Blue Jays, but only Mike Trout and Clayton Kershaw were ahead of him on the list. So MLB Network is basically saying this guy is the third best player in baseball.
Interesting.
And with Edwin walking and some holes in the diamond, I mean, his importance is only going to get elevated. He's been incredibly important the past 2 years, but if Donaldson is not at 100% to start the year or it becomes a lingering issue, warning signs for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got to be 100%. I think there's more than enough time here. They got 40-plus days or whatever until the season starts. I think last year Edwin missed almost all of spring training, showed up day one of the season, and he was fine.
That start off like this? Sometimes it just never ends.
That's the concern,
yeah,
right?
It just leads into another thing, and you're compromising for something else. I hope he just gets healthy and says, I don't care about spring training, anything.
That's what I would do. If
he's
got
to find some way to get his work in before the season starts, but I could care less. Just get healthy.
I'm with you. If it's 2 to 3 weeks, make it 4 to 5. Like, I don't even care if he takes an at-bat during spring training. I don't need him out there taking at-bats against double-A pitchers, playing for the Rangers or whatever.
Right.
Just get healthy. Make sure you feel 100%. Get in the batting cage if you need to. Because, again, I believe last year, Edwin, I don't think he saw major league pitching in spring training. I think he may have got in a couple of rehab games right before the season began against double-A pitchers, single-A pitchers.
Look at the year he had.
And he was unbelievable.
Overrated.
When you're a vet and you know who you are and you know what you're capable of doing, it's not like a pitcher either where, like, they injure their arm and you can't stretch out their arm, you can't, you know, push the innings. limit or whatever it is early in the season, Donaldson will be fine.
He'll be fine.
I hope he'll be fine.
He's a grit grinder.
They need him to be fine.
It's spring training. Like, this is if you want people banged up, this is when you need them banged up.
Especially day one of spring training.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're doing down and backs four times. Like, they're not really diving into it.
It's not overly rigorous at this point.
Early on.
I got this guy that's tweeted me 100 times.
Oh, yeah?
Made it to Toronto. Are you ready to play a round of disc golf yet?
What's disc golf?
I don't know. I don't care. And I'm never going to play disc golf.
Well, maybe you should.
Have you ever heard of it?
Like frisbee golf? Like Frolf? I've heard of Frolf.
Frolf? Frolf.
Oh, Frolf is like, it's the real deal, man.
Frolf.
Yeah.
I can't even say it.
Look it up.
Frolf?
Frisbee golf. It is like a legitimate thing. There are leagues. There are trophies. There are females. Groupies.
There's groupies for Frolf.
There's no, Frolf there's bunnies.
So what are you doing? Are just whipping a frisbee off a tee and you whip it down the fairway?
Essentially.
And you try to ring it around the flagpole?
I guess. I've never played. But my understanding is Frolf. It is a very popular sub sport in the city of Toronto.
It's a millennial.
Frolf.
It might be a millennial thing.
It's even a millennial X.
I think it's lower than that.
It's the younger ones.
Lee tweeting and saying, you got to have Stroman and Sanchez to your family dinner just to find out exactly what's going on between
what
the two
happened?
Of them. That might actually take the cake. That might be the news of the day right there. You got to bring Stroman and Sanchez.
So you just float out, are you guys friends or not?
Just get right. Tell your uncle to have six glasses of wine and go over there and just start yelling at them and ask what the hell's going on.
Do you have one relative you'd be afraid?
Yeah, of course. Everyone does.
Everyone's got one relative.
Everyone's got a
couple.
I think I do, too.
Don't let uncle or don't let aunt say this or that. Like,
oh, I'd be terrified. Everyone would be.
You know, as soon as they get over to the house, they don't even say hello. They go right to the cabinet to pour themselves a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're hacking. You say, don't smoke inside, but
right outside, door open. It's
door
freezing
open,
in the house.
It's blowing into the house.
Mm-hmm.
There was almost a fight, like a brawl at one of my family Christmas. No smoking allowed inside. They just conjured together down near the furnace in a room. Darts everywhere. It's like, no.
It's like a mutiny within your own family. And if you get enough guys that smoke, what are you going to do? Kick everyone out? Because if they leave, they're bringing the wife and the kids. Just and then next thing you know, there's four people left.
Honey, start the car.
And get those windows up because we're smoking on our way home.
Make me a turkey sangie, and we're out of here.
We're taking food to go still. And they may take
the
bottle of wine that they brought with them.
Oh, the bread, the wine.
What is the rule
everything.
On that?
What?
When you go for a weekend or a party, if there's leftover wine or booze what you brought, are you allowed to take with or no?
I think you are if you all go together. Like if you all go to a cottage or whatever.
Yeah,
I think so. Like if you go to someone's house for the night, you can't. I don't think you leave with what you brought.
You're not Costanza. What was it? The rye bread?
Yeah, the marble rye. Food is different. If you bring food, it's there. You don't bring you food leave. Back unless the homeowner says, "Hey, we're overflowing here. Let me send it back with you or whatever." But you can't instigate that on your own. If you go to a dinner party, you can't bring a bottle of wine, and if it's not being drank, you take it. There's no way.
I would send back carrot cake. If they brought something ridiculous and nobody's going to eat it, send it, take it.
Well, that's fine, but you wouldn't do it like with an attitude. You'd probably sell it as, hey, don't worry, thank you so much, we couldn't get to it, you take it off.
Yeah, you're not going
to
be a jerk about it.
This is garbage,
say,
I'm never going to eat it.
It is going to just go in the garbage. It's going to go to waste.
Right.
But it's kind of rude if they bring a gift and you just put it in their goodbye bag.
Like a loot bag for grown adults.
Yeah, just tell them thanks, but no thanks.
All right, Rod Black.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rod Black.
The
I'm getting
legend.
My rods
wow.
mixed up here.
Wow.
Rod Black was down in New Orleans covering the All-Star game for TSN, allegedly hanging out with Charles Barkley.
They're buddies.
Barkley's 54 years old today. So we'll get the details on that. We'll get his thoughts on the Cousins trade from Sacramento to New Orleans. And we'll hear from Vladdy Divac.
Do we have any confirmation about this? It's not Divac.
It's been pronounced 15 different ways. We have three different pieces of audio.
Can we hear one of them?
Why don't we come back? We'll play some audio. We'll hear from Vladdy, and we'll hear what he had to say about the trade and why one comment in particular is causing a big stir throughout the NBA. We'll let you hear that next. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf lineup player of the day on Friday. Come with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl seats to see the Maple Leafs take on Detroit March 7th down at the ACC. The theme this week is players who were on the Leafs roster the last time the Leafs made the playoffs. The same season the Red Wings didn't, which was in 89-90. That is actually quite creative. Good stuff,
Steph.
It's
not creative.
Good work.
Nailed it in.
Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Vinny Domfus. I hadn't read it before,
I know,
so it caught me off guard.
You're like working through it. Like,
Can you read it again for me? Because I was actually somewhat confused.
We're confused.
All
What's going on?
The theme this week is former Maple Leaf players who were on the Leafs roster the last time the Leafs made the playoffs during a season in which the Red Wings didn't make the playoffs.
So like 25 years ago.
1989-90 season. So the 89-90 season was the last time the Leafs were in and Detroit wasn't in.
What's this got to do with anything?
Well, we're giving away tickets to see the Leafs take on the Red Wings. So it kind of ties everything together.
Boy, she's stretching on this one.
Vinny Domfus is your guy.
He was a good player.
Vinny was a great guy. Great player. And it could happen this year, as Steph points out. Because Detroit's not getting in. I just don't see
it.
No, I know.
Although they did have a big weekend.
They beat Pittsburgh, right? Was it Pittsburgh
they clobbered them. 5-2 or something.
Yeah. Anyway, NBA All-Star Weekend, we kind of declared earlier this afternoon, no one cares about the game. Dunk contest was a bummer.
It was all a joke, to be honest.
It wasn't a very memorable weekend. Last year, we got lucky in Toronto. It was a great weekend. Great weekend. But the big news actually featured the host city, and that was New Orleans, because the Pelicans acquired DeMarcus Cousins last night from Sacramento.
Do you even go home?
I think you got to go home, don't you? They still have a few days. They've worked it out that the NBA, I think, has 4 or 5 days after the All-Star break.
To recover?
To recover, and they let the All-Star players, you know, have their break.
Maybe
or have a bit of a break.
Maybe he'll make it into the lineup like the guy here.
Like Serge Ibaka.
Ibaka's still resting.
Be okay to, like,
maybe by Friday he'll be ready to play. So I don't know. He might have plans to be going to Cancun or to be going to Vegas. I don't know. But I would think you'd go back to Sacramento, get some gear, and then head back to New Orleans. But the deal is being criticized league-wide because Cousins is a great talent.
He's also a pain in the ass.
Big time. Big time. And I think what happened
as soon as I started to pay a little bit to the NBA, all the comments and all the technical fouls and personal, it's just he's a circus to deal with.
And he's up for a big contract after next year. It'll be a monster deal. And it sounds as if ownership concluded they're not going to do it. They don't want to sign him, so let's look to trade him.
Here's a question for you. He's a good player, correct?
He's a top 10 or 15 player in the league. He's a great player, and he's having a great year.
Why wouldn't the Raps be looking at him for the rest of this year?
Well, I think because of his attitude issues. I've heard horror stories about this guy.
He's that guy. Great talent, but
do you want him in your
locker room? Just a major problem,
right? Do you want him in your room? And this is Lowry and DeMar's room.
Right.
Do you want to bring in Cousins? But he's got another year on his deal, so this trade didn't have to happen today. The deadline's on Thursday. Could happen on Thursday. Could happen in the summer. Could happen next year. But they decided, let's do it. Let's get rid of him.
Right.
Now there are some draft implications there. It's a really deep draft, but Vlade Divac. Divac, whatever you want to call him.
Divac?
Divac. Divac.
Divac.
Divac. Vlade Divac, their GM, was speaking to the media earlier this afternoon, and he was asked why they didn't wait until closer to the deadline, presuming you could get a better deal at that point. Here's what he said.
Most likely we would get less because I had a better deal 2 days ago.
Than what you got now?
Yep.
And then you had a better offer for Cousins well, 2 days ago?
Talk to those agents. What they say.
So what?
I don't want to go in details. I don't want to discuss about the process. It was a big process for us.
The best part of that clip is the media guys are incredulous. They're like, wait a minute, slow down. You had a better deal and you took this one?
Did you circle back or
what happened? And then his explanation is talk to the agents as if they're the ones that are making all these decisions.
Well, don't kid yourself. They're involved.
They're heavily involved. But when in doubt, do not ever go on the record saying you had a better deal that
had
you
a better
didn't
deal,
take.
But
I was like a president or owner. I'd be like, you're fired.
That is an awful
That's an
answer.
Organizational changing type deal.
Right. You stumbled on this. You got the worst deal.
Yeah.
You did not get a good enough deal to begin with, and apparently you had a better one on the table that for whatever reason you didn't capitalize on. Don't ever go on public record saying that.
I'll never be an executive in hockey, but if I do, that I just learned one lesson there. Never say that. Never admit that.
That's rule number one if you're a GM.
That is.
For any sport. Rule number one is that. Don't incriminate yourself.
Exactly.
Rod Black coming up. He was down there in New Orleans.
What the hell was he up to?
We'll find out. And Darren Dreger in studio in the final hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.